So your brain's constantly looking for shortcuts, which is why I rely on a monotonous breakfast and lunch to make sure that I'm eating healthy, because I just basically we eat the same thing for breakfast and we eat the same thing for lunch. But dinner is the one time when I kind of change it up. And so I have about 10 to 15 recipes in constant rotation. And the only one that shows up pretty much regularly is tacos, because who doesn't love tacos?
Listen, I took tacos out of our rotation and there was like a protest. They were like, how come we're not doing Taco Tuesdays? Because like our schedule got crazy. And so Tuesdays became, you know, we were literally doing Taco Tuesdays. We were like, you know, that basic and cliche.
Natasha and I always say that planning makes everything easier. And that is definitely the case when it comes to cooking food for our families that they'll eat and that is also healthy. So stay tuned as we talk about applying planning to your meals.
Welcome here to our Thursday chat, Thursday live chat with Natasha and Allegra, Allegra and Natasha of Beyond Your Wildest Dreams. Our mission is to help you prioritize yourself, save time, and achieve your goals. That is what we're all about. And that's why we're here today.
Yes. And we actually have topics under our Instagram profile, and you can even get a reminder there. And today's topic is meal planning, but like, I wouldn't say it's meal prep at all. Natasha and I are not meal preppers. I know that has a specific connotation.
Yeah. And there are definitely people out there who do that really well.
Like, we just don't even do that. Mm-hmm. But we always say that planning makes everything better. And that's absolutely true when it comes to meals.
100%.
But maybe just like a little bit of chit chat before we get into the topic. Oh my gosh, Natasha. So last night was really funny. My sister, who does not live in state, asked me if she could get together this Saturday. And I texted her that I couldn't because this weekend is Natasha and I's, as we call it, our bizcation.
Yeah, once a year we have a bizcation. We get together. Sometimes 48 hours or more, we just kind of drill down and it's all about BYWD for 48 hours plus.
Yes. And last year was actually really funny because the atmospheric river was moving through Southern California and we actually lost power where we were. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting. And we were just like freezing. We had enough power for all of our electronic devices to work.
Right.
But not enough for the heater.
because your hubby was nice enough to bring over your Jackery, right? Like her, what is it called? It's called
a battery, but you can charge it with solar panels. So we use it for camping and we have it for emergency. And so it was enough
to power our laptops and our phones and still get our work done. And we're just bundled head to toe and just typing away and stuff.
Right. It couldn't run the heater where we were.
Yeah. We made it work.
Yes. We made it work. And anyway, so this weekend is the bizcation. So I told my sister I can't because of my biz partner. We have our working vacation. Only I forgot the Z in biz partner. And a Z has never been so important, apparently, because I said, I wrote my bi partner and I, my bi partner and I have a working vacation this weekend, so probably not this weekend. And her next message was, wow, that was a whole lot of new information to process in a text. And I'm thinking to myself, well, there were a lot of texts before that, but she had responded to them. So this one text seems to have a lot of information. And I noticed, well, I didn't include the Z, but I mean, I think she would know if I was in a polyamorous sort of situation. I mean, I wouldn't just announce it via text. And I said, okay, but maybe that's what she's referring
to. That is hilarious.
So I retyped biz partner. And she said, oh my gosh, I thought that was the softest softball entree into we've decided to open up our marriage.
And by the way, I just want to say shout out to all the polyamorous families out there and people who are doing it. Talk about planning, making it work. You know what I mean?
Oh, like
that
gosh.
So, you know, I'm sure there has to be somebody out there. There has to be some people out there who are
someone
like,
someone who's watching who can understand.
How do you plan your polyamorous family life?
Oh my goodness. Well, and
I can't even imagine.
Yes. Well, although I did read this really interesting. We'll come back to that. Hold that thought. Put a pin in that. And so I just thought, like, really? You think that's how I would tell you?
That's hilarious.
That was my main takeaway.
By the way.
Oh, and hey, yay. Yeah. My sister obviously was very accepting about the idea for the 5 minutes that she was thinking about it. There was no like immediate phone call. Like, what are you talking about? It was just like, oh, okay. Well, that's interesting a lot of information.
Interesting way to tell me.
Yeah. Okay. So going back to, I once read this article like 15 years ago, and it was explaining a relationship. They called it a V-shaped relationship because there was a woman at the center of the relationship and there were two men and they were good friends. And I mean, in a way, if you think about it, they were like life partners in a way, but there was no romantic relationship between the two men physically. But they all lived together. So, I mean, like, you're still in a relationship with someone.
Oh, sure.
Regardless of with your being for physical sure. with yeah, them yeah. or not. Mm-hmm. So, but they called it a V because she was physical with both men. Mm-hmm. And they said something that made so much sense to me. And now that I have a 13-year-old, I see it a little bit. And they were talking about how the good thing about being in a three-person relationship is that when there's an argument, which arguments tended to be between two people, and I guess arguments too in general tend to be between two people, that there was always a referee to say, well, you know, I don't think you're really portraying that fairly. And are you like everyone to their corners, right? You're just being too emotional. Mm-hmm. And now that we have a young adult in our house, we kind of get that because between the three of us, if there's a disagreement, it's usually between two of us. And there's one of us to always kind of say, like to your corners.
It. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, let's de-escalate, shall we?
De-escalate. Yeah. Because that third point of view can really help, you know, keep things in perspective, right? Because you get triggered, the other person gets triggered. And the next thing you know, it's hard to keep things in perspective.
Right. Don't bring out the weapons of mass destruction. Like, nope, no, don't want to bring those out.
Definitely not.
Don't bring out the one time you, nope, put that away, put that back. So anyway, that was the funny thing that happened to me yesterday.
That is pretty hilarious. Very funny.
So,
my bi partner.
Yes, my bi partner, my bi biz partner. Oh, now we're going to get all sorts of different calls. Okay. So
meal planning.
So as Natasha and I say, planning makes everything better. And I know that when I started having to cook for more people than just myself, I had to be a little more I had to be more thoughtful about it. I had to start doing some planning. Whereas before I was just like, what do I feel like? Okay.
Right,
you know, when you live alone or maybe you have a roommate, but I had a roommate that we shared a space, but we weren't like, so what are we doing tonight? Right.
Right.
Like, I cooked my food. She cooked her food. So very separate. One of the first things that I did was to write down all of the things that I was good at cooking onto a list. And so if you're not good at cooking right now, maybe your first step is to just write down things that you wish you could cook. And so get that list down. There's so many, I mean, nowadays between YouTube, there's so many ways to learn to cook.
So many. I mean, how many food blogs are out there, right? Like a gazillion.
Yeah. A gazillion.
Yeah.
Find one and learn to cook those things that you want to learn to cook. And for the things that I cooked well, I sort of brought them to my, you know, husband and said, hey, here are the things I cook well. Can we come up with a general weekly plan for eating dinner? Because our breakfast is very monotonous. Our lunches are very monotonous. And part of this is, you know, Natasha and I talk all the time about habit formation, right? So why does the brain form habits? To save energy.
Yeah. And so it's constantly doing that. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because we're feast or famine animals, right? Meaning there were times of abundance I was an anthropology major undergrad. So let's go back to, we were feast and famine animals. So there were times of abundance and there were times of scarcity. And so our bodies are basically always looking for ways to save calories in case scarcity is around the corner, right? And that leads to a lot of things that we, that are not intuitive to us as modern day humans. Like for instance, stress releases a hormone called cortisol, which causes your body to hold on to fat. And the hypothesis is that because we're feast and famine animals, when we get stressed, our bodies are like, oh, there might not be food available.
That's right. Hang on to that fat.
So hang on to that fat. I'm going to need that fat. Okay. You wouldn't think stress equals fat gain, but we're feast and famine animals.
Yeah.
So because of that, and because our brains use so much energy, right? Remember when you were first learning to do something complicated, like driving, something that uses so much of your brain. I remember having to take naps every time I came home from driver's ed. I'd just be like, oh my gosh, I'm so exhausted.
And I read somewhere that learning to walk, right, which we don't probably remember, is literally the hardest thing you will ever learn. And so you imagine babies are taking naps all the time. They take a couple steps and they're like, whoo, gonna take a nap, right? But it's literally, and I just want to point that out to you, because like, if you think anything is hard, you have already done the hardest thing you will ever do already. And you're doing it every day. So keep that in mind too. This is a way to encourage you that like, you can do it, whatever it is.
Yes. And it's actually standing still. That's the hardest thing, apparently.
Oh, really? More so than walking.
Because it engages more muscles, but it, whereas walking, you can kind of fall forward. It's just like standing without falling. So anyway, so your brain's constantly looking for shortcuts, which is why I rely on a monotonous breakfast and lunch to make sure that I'm eating healthy, because I just basically, we eat the same thing for breakfast and we eat the same thing for lunch. But dinner is the one time when I kind of change it up. And so I have about 10 to 15 recipes in constant rotation. And the only one that shows up pretty much regularly is tacos, because who doesn't love tacos?
Listen, I took tacos out of our rotation and there was like a protest. They were like, how come we're not doing Taco Tuesdays? Because like our schedule got crazy. And so Tuesdays became, you know, we were literally doing Taco Tuesdays. We were like, you know, that basic and cliche.
Yeah.
And the kids are like, why are we doing tacos anymore? Like they loved it. So they love it. So our sports schedule changes after this week. So tacos will be back on Tuesday again, starting next week. But yeah, tacos, man.
Such well, let me just pleaser. Say, here's one of the great things about tacos. And your boys will probably attest to this too, because they were eating at our house right recently. The great thing about tacos is because it's all, you assemble it, each person assembles it individually. Yeah. They can make it to their own taste.
Exactly.
Like, I want lots of lettuce. Mm-hmm. You know, I want very little cheese.
Yeah. You when just you like, make- right. All I have to do is brown the, all I have to do is brown the turkey meat and put everything out. Right.
Right.
And then my other son, and then my one son is vegetarian. So we just use like the Beyond Meat beef, you know, substitute. So I just make a batch of each of those, of turkey meat and, you know, the Beyond Beef, and everybody's happy. Exactly. They can go ahead and dress their taco to their heart's delight.
Right. Assemble to their heart's delight. Mm-hmm. Even though I do have to say like, hey, you need more lettuce on there. Less cheese, more lettuce.
Oh my God. The boys go crazy. Like I have to definitely monitor the cheese situation.
Yes. The cheese consumption can get a little crazy.
Crazy with the cheese consumption.
So, I mean, that's, and by the way, so step number one in planning is figure out what things you like to cook or want to include in your rotation. Okay. Step number two, decide, okay, this is my rotation of things, and figure out what ingredients you need for those. Because then you can really just automate your grocery shopping, which is step three. But one other thing I just want to say, so a lot of parents say, but I have picky eaters. Well, that's the benefit of doing these unassembled meals, where they can then assemble things themselves to their taste. You know, like last night we had lasagna, and one of the challenges is that it was a little bit too spicy for my child. She likes spice, but it was a little bit too much. And so suddenly the whole main course is like, you know, kind of out the window for her, because how do you take the spice out of every single part in there? Right.
Totally. Yeah.
So disassembled meals, whether they're tacos or like when your boys were staying with us, I made pasta and the sauce, the pasta, the veggie, and the meat were all separate.
Yeah, we do the same. Because mm-hmm. one likes red sauce, one likes pesto, one like, you know what I mean? So I just make the, pasta, and then you have your choice between what the toppings are going to be. Yeah, for sure. Because they definitely have their different, you know, preferences.
One of the other meals that we make a lot in my house is I call it disassembled kebab, which is I chop up onions, I put it in the bottom of a casserole dish, and then I mix up parsley, salt, cumin with turkey meat. And I just spread it in a layer over the onions. Mm-hmm. And then I bake it for 20 minutes. And so it's like kebab meat, but without having to go through the whole skewers and all that.
Yeah, plus, the time-consuming part.
the time-consuming part, exactly. Plus the onions cook in the fat of the turkey.
Okay? Fantastic, yum.
And then in addition to that, I make tzatziki. I put some hummus on the table. I make some rice. And so everyone can assemble it however they want. Mm-hmm. So if you have a meal that, you know, you have family members who are picky eaters, consider doing these disassembled items that they can then assemble and they can pick around the things that they're picky about. That could help you.
100%. I feel like just even, and I really just kind of came to meal planning. I'm not going to say prepping. I tried the prepping thing. It was just, and I know what, I have friends of mine who have it down to a science. They're amazing at it. They do their Sunday afternoon. They just got it. They knock it out and it's amazing. And that is just, my brain doesn't work that way. I tried it. It feels too rigid for me in that, like, I things come up on Sunday afternoons that I want to do and blah, blah, blah. So like, it didn't work for our family. I really did try. I was like, I'm going to do it that way. That seems so much easier, you know? And I do see the benefit of that too, because obviously you save time and you save money, during the weekdays, and you save money doing that too. Right. So what works for our family is a little bit. So if you have a little bit, if your financial situation is a little different, where you can go ahead and do one of these family meal prep plans, like where they send you a box of the ingredients. We don't do the thing where it's completely already, assembled and you just heat it.
It's not meal delivery.
Right. It's not meal delivery. It's just the actual recipe and the car, you know. And quite honestly, I've tried a bunch of different ones. We've settled on one that I really like, because it doesn't give you all the stuff. Like there was one where they gave you butter and I'm like, I have butter. It's cool. Like, you know what I mean? So it's a little cheaper because they really just assume that you have garlic. They assume that you have a bunch of different things. So it winds up being cheaper. And the thing with that too,
and less packaging.
Way less packaging too, because in this last one that we landed on, they just put everything in one box, whereas the first one we used, like, had it all separated in different containers, so that one meal, and sure, that's convenient, but like, really, what does that save me? Like 90 seconds of just digging through the box and seeing which ingredients we're using. So I'm much happier to do it that way with less packaging. And part of the reason that a couple of reasons we did it. One is because we started doing this during the pandemic, and I just kind of was like, oh my God, I'm so over cooking 3 meals a day, 7 days a week for all you people. I'm starting to run out of ideas. And you know, we started just getting really bored with the same stuff that I was doing over and over, even though you have, which I think is great, that if you pick out at least 15 meals, you're not going to have that same meal again for 2 weeks. Right. So it's rare, except for the tacos. But I get mentally overloaded with this kind of stuff, with the decision-making, the grocery shopping. And that's the other thing about the pandemic that was great too, that it really got me in the mode of ordering ahead of time, which has been an absolute godsend in terms of, you know, saving time and money too. Cause I'm standing in my kitchen, looking at my pantry going, oh, we already have that, you know? And so I don't get another bottle of whatever, you know, sriracha. Cause I'm like, oh, we still have sriracha. Okay, cool. Whereas if I was in the grocery store, I'd be like, do we have sriracha? I don't know. I'll just get it, you know? And so saving money in that regard, and then saving time, like just rolling up and having them put it right in my trunk. So if you have a grocery service or a grocery store, rather, you don't have to, a lot of them, if you buy at least $35 worth of groceries, you don't have to pay extra for the pickup. Yes. Delivery is a different story, and delivery, you know, if you have the money for that, great, do some delivery if you want. But the rolling up, like, what's great is that I can often just pick a window and I pick a store that's on my husband's way home from work, and he just stops and gets it on the way back. So if I order it early enough, he can pick it up on the way home from work. So these kinds of things have made it much, much easier. And the meal service, I know that 3 days a week, is going to be one of those meals. And then we have Taco Tuesday, and that's four dinners done already for me. So I know that that doesn't sound like you're like, okay, great, Natasha, your meal plan is to buy meals, to buy a service. But it has been an absolute game changer. And for other reasons too, there's no leftovers, which can be a good thing or bad thing, but there's no extra zucchini rotting in my fridge, which, cause that kind of thing happens with me. I'll just forget that I have it. You know, I'll buy however much is needed for the recipe. There's still three quarters of something left. And the next thing you know, I'm throwing it out a week later because it went bad. So that kind of thing happened a lot with me. So this saves that from happening. And just the mental load for me. But the thing is, I still plan, right? I still look at my week and go, that's going to be, and I just put down the word. I just put down, we're now using every plate. So I just put down every plate in those spots, because which recipe we're going to use, we'll see that night, you know,
right.
That part doesn't matter. And then I just fill in the other ones. And it's just nice to have an idea of what's happening and recognizing, oh, wait a second. We do want to do tacos on Tuesday. I don't think I have any turkey meat, because that used to be just like a normal thing or every week thing, buying the taco, the turkey meat. But we stopped, like I said. So that just having that little bit of prep, and then I just put it in my cart and then, you know, order it for later. It's so much. I highly recommend the pickup situation. It's really great. And I have friends who are like, oh, I couldn't do that because, you know, I like to pick out the produce. I totally get that too. But I have to say, for the vast majority, I say like 95% of the time, the people they have shopping for you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never been upset with the produce they've picked for
because
me.
Because they ever. Don't want you to say, hey, this was crappy. Give me a refund.
So I feel like they do a really good job too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's why, you know, Natasha and I talk about making planning a habit for Sunday evening. And so this is a great thing. If you just spend 15 minutes on Sunday to look at, and 15 minutes of total planning. So maybe a few minutes on meal plan to just say, here are the five meals. I have these things. I need these things. Put them in your cart. And then the next day, you or another adult in your household can just pick it up. I love Ralph's pickup. It's so fantastic.
It's the best. Yeah. And there have to be other grocery stores that do that too, right? I mean, I know that there's other ones that like will do delivery.
Yeah, Sprouts does it too. Mm-hmm. The one thing though, like for the difference is Ralph's does it in-house. So they don't charge, I think, anything for pickup.
No, nothing.
Whereas Sprouts outsources to Instacart. So you still are paying something
even on a pickup.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Yeah. No. So
pickup.
Yeah. So that's what we recommend, a grocery store that does their own in-house pickup service. Plus also if you get their app, a lot of times they'll have like special coupons that are just for pickup.
Yeah.
I've gotten that a bunch of times too. So when you order through the app and you just look through your coupons, which is the other thing too, I was like, I always forget to bring coupons to the store. So it's much easier to do it through the app. Right. Yeah. And then they'll just say like, oh yeah, extra $5 if you do a pickup, you know, order. I'm like, sweet, you know?
Yes.
So there's some advantages to that for
some
sure.
Some great advantages. So our tips are, one, figure out what you want to make, either by creating a list of things that you enjoy making or learning to make things that you've always wanted to make. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, think about when you want to schedule those things into, you know, your dinners. We're talking about dinners,
right?
You can apply the same thing to breakfast and lunch, but we're talking mostly about dinners. And then spend a little time on Sunday to plan, and you can do these grocery pickups, or if you don't want to do grocery pickup, if you want to pick out all your stuff yourself, you know, just put it, do your Sunday night, okay, this is what I need, and then schedule that into whatever day you're going to actually get to the store, whether it's Monday or Tuesday or whatever that is.
Right.
Like my family, one of the reasons I can't do meal prep because I do not like the taste of anything that has been like open too long. Like it has to be fresh, 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 fresh. Like I cannot, I do like leftovers are a really hard thing for me. I've gotten.
Not a problem in my house. Allegra has a much more sophisticated palate than our family.
No, it's just me. I'm just super picky about food.
She's got a much more sophisticated palate. Not a problem in my house. In fact, my husband is a Olympic level leftover consumer. It's like, he's just so good at it.
So is my husband. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to give one little bonus tip. If you know my background, you know that I used to teach cooking classes. So for eating more veggies, I just want to say, find the one way you like to make veggies and then make all your veggies that way. Like people are always saying, but how should I cook this? How should I cook that? I cook all my veggies the exact same way because that's how I like them. That's how my family likes them. And it means they'll get eaten. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, I heat up a plate. I put a little bit of cooking pan. I put a little bit of ghee on it. Then I throw whatever vegetable I'm cooking with a little salt, cover it. As soon as it starts turning color a little bit, I'll throw in some chopped garlic, stir it around a couple more times, cover it for like 30 seconds because garlic burns really quickly.
So
and
fast.
And then it's done. And I just throw it out into a bowl and we all eat it. Zucchini, bam. Cauliflower, broccoli, whatever vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we eat it. So if you want to eat more veggies, figure out the one way you love to eat them and then do them all that way.
Yeah, we do a sheet pans. We do the sheet pan thing, you know, which has just been really easy too. Super easy.
Don't overthink it. Find what works for you and then rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. Mm-hmm. Make it a habit.
Yes, make it a habit. Make it a habit. Yeah, so this was meal planning, not meal prepping. And, you know, I have to just say, like, too, the other thing about the meal services is that often what would happen is because I wasn't planning, because I wasn't just even having a little bit of like a giving myself a heads up mentally, next thing you know, we'd be running off to some practice or some other thing. And, oh my goodness, we haven't had dinner. Oh, I guess we're going to get Subway, you know, blah, 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 that kind of thing. And it's not the worst thing ever. Like right now with sports being the way it is, we have a Subway night because it's the easiest thing. Plus they also have a BOGO, you know, so it's not the greatest, it's not the healthiest thing ever, but sometimes it's like, well, we're in the car at 4:00. They're not going to be home till 8:30. You know, it's going to be a, let's pick up a Subway along the way and you guys eat it between practices and stuff, because there's just no way that dinner was going to happen. Nobody's even home during those hours, you know? So that kind of thing too. So I just ahead of time, I'm like, oh, that's a Subway night. I just take a look at the practice schedule and just, those are going to be Subways. You know?
Oh, and then there's pizza night, right? So taco night and pizza night. There's two nights.
Listen, you're already done. All you have to do is think about Sunday, basically. at that point, right?
Yeah. And for pizza night, we switch off between doing cauliflower frozen pizza, which is cauliflower based. So I feel, you know, we're getting more veggies. And Costco sells cauliflower pizza.
They do, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And making our own from scratch. Mm-hmm. So that's like the trade-off. And yeah, it's, you know, that way you're ensuring that you're eating foods you like, you're eating as healthy as you want to eat, and you're eating within your budget when you do a little bit of meal planning.
Yeah, it really has definitely saved us money for sure.
You save a ton of money. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next Thursday at 9:30 a.m. Pacific, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, talking about exercise snacking. Mm-hmm. That is not eating while exercising.
Darn, what? I was like, this is a thing? Yes, sign me up.
That's about doing small amounts of exercise throughout the day, spreading it throughout the day. So we're going to talk about exercise snacking. And if you're listening on the Harness of Power Planning podcast, be sure to like and subscribe. You can find us on all platforms. Just search for Harness the Power of Planning.
Thank you. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us for the Harness the Power of Planning podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe wherever you listen.